Welcome back to the After Everything podcast. Gabe Yannis and I, we are back on our mic for our weekly episode. Now, we've had some great guests on the show. Kelly and Juliet were amazing. We had Chris Cooper recently. We have all of our Kafa Kalipas. But today's episode is Gabe and I. We're talking about business. We're talking about fitness. We're talking about this book that he's been reading called 4,000 Weeks. I share some of the inspiration, something I found this week, which was, will it matter in 5 minutes, 5 hours, 5 years? We talk a little bit about that. And of course, we touch base on the cold plunge and a new Mark Pro product that I've been using to help my knee. We dive in a little bit of jiu-jitsu. So I really enjoy always these weekly episodes, get to talk about what's on our mind. If you enjoy these episodes, go back, check out the other ones, check out the short format podcast, leave us a rating, leave us a review, and get ready for our Yeti question of the week. Super excited about this, where it's an opportunity online. Chris puts me on Instagram. You guys can ask your questions. We can answer them on the podcast, and you could also get Yeti products. So stay tuned for that. But let's dive into a great episode with Mr. Gabe Yannis. Let's go. So I'm trying this new H-Wave, and I have it on my knee right now. And so this is the exact same technology as a Mark Pro. So you've heard of the Mark Pro, obviously. This is the exact same technology, identical. But this brand, H-Wave, is, I guess, FDA approved to be able to be utilized like in hospitals and physical therapy centers. And instead of saying like, oh, you can get this for recovery, whatever, you could actually like medically diagnose things and say this. So that's H-Wave, which is identical to Mark Pro, but it went through certain processes to say that it's now able to be used on patients. So I have this on my knee. Interesting. It's just like the electro, you know, therapy, et cetera. But here's an interesting thing. I didn't really think of this, and I thought I'd share with you. When you're utilizing this, you place some probes on like the quad, other probes on the calf, because there is no specific muscle like right on the knee joint. And so you're pushing blood above and below. And I just hadn't really thought of it until I actually had to use it. I was like, oh, that makes total sense. But that's what they do. So four probes, two on the lower, like calf, et cetera, and then two above. And it just starts funneling. Supposedly like 200% more blood production. So hopefully it'll help my knee recover. I just thought I'd share that with you because I wasn't familiar. I haven't used one of these in years. So it's nice to check it out.
I have a question. So what exactly happened with your knee? I think we like touched on it super briefly on the podcast, but what happened to your knee? Because I mean, when I was there, I was in the Bay Area last week, you were hobbling up and down stairs. It didn't look good.
No, it wasn't good. And so here's the thing, right? Is that it's a byproduct of me not adjusting my RPE, right? And having, I don't want to call it ego, but maybe that's there too. And just not letting it rest, dude. So I was in Southern California. I was training jiu-jitsu down at Victory MMA. And I got hit from the side and I felt like a little whatever. It wasn't a big deal. I get in the car, I drive back up. The next day, dude, I could barely even walk. And so, you know, I started doing different things, trying to make it feel better, et cetera, et cetera. It started feeling better for sure. And so then I got back in jiu-jitsu and I was doing it again and everything was kind of fine. It was like, whatever. And then, dude, I just got hit again and it just like popped. And so then it's just been hurting. So for the last, I'd say 12 days, I haven't done jiu-jitsu and I've just been recovering the knee. And it's a good testament to like, I should have let it recover longer. I needed about 6 weeks. I gave it about a week. And it just made it worse. And so I think it's a partial MCL tear. That's what I think it is. Kelly Surrett was here and he was looking at the knee. You know, he basically didn't think it was a big deal. He just think I needed to recover. And the problem was I'm just not giving my knee enough time to recover. And so it's 100% my fault. It's easier said than done.
So I have a couple of follow-up questions.
100% my fault, by the way.
But here's the thing. So first of all, did you see that Matt Frazier had to get surgery on his knee from Brazilian jiu-jitsu?
Yes.
He completely messed up his knee.
So dude, he tore his ACL, his MCL, and like whatever, his meniscus. Now, this same knee that I got hurt, I have torn my ACL and MCL on before when I was in high school playing football. But yes, I did see that Matt Frazier tore that. What's really odd, and I was trying to think about it, right? So this is the downside to any dynamic sport. And this doesn't just apply to jiu-jitsu, by the way. This goes to basketball, to any like athletic sport. The challenge is if you're competing professionally in CrossFit, there's many factors that are within your control. Like the barbell doesn't punch back, et cetera, et cetera. when you start doing dynamic sports, there's another person that's coming at you, and that's amazing, but it also leads to a risk of injury. And so in Frazier's case, dude, he said he was warming up and he tore his ACL. I don't even know how that happens. I don't. Like, what were you doing in a warm-up that had you like tear your ACL? I don't know. It must have been a fucking intense warm-up.
Yeah, that's wild, man. And it's a bummer. Obviously, we wish him a speedy recovery. But I guess, you know, you're a lot more involved in the sport than I am. Are injuries super common? Like, what does that look like? Because to your point, you know, not only is there, you know, something that's outside of your control, right? Like, you can always get hurt because whoever it is that you're rolling with just goes too hard, holds on for too long, whatever. And hopefully you're at a gym where like that's not the case and there's kind of that mutual like understanding and respect. But at the end of the day, that is outside of your control. Combine that with the fact that, like, you know, making assumptions here, but I think it's a safe assumption to make. A lot of people that get into BJJ, like, you know, they're a little bit more of your type A type of person. They're probably competitive. There is a lot of ego when you hit the mats. Like, you don't want to lose every time. You don't want to tap early every time. I think if anything, it takes a very high level of discipline to actually go in there and be like, hey, I want to get really good at this, but I also care about the things I do outside the mat. So, you know, if I'm even close to being pinned or to, you know, needing to tap, I'm always going to tap early. I think that would be the ideal, but I mean, I know I wouldn't be able to do that because it's tough. You know, you want to win, you're competitive. Yeah. What's kind of like the injury rate maybe that you've seen being involved in the sport?
So I would say that being involved for 6-7 years, I would say there's less injuries in jiu-jitsu than you think, just like there's less injuries in CrossFit than you think. So I want to start by saying that, like, there's less than you think, but it's still obviously present. You know, I'd say in CrossFit, most injuries I've seen most of the time, now there's been anomalies, I've seen some stuff, but in general, most people, most of the time, once they're done, when they come back after an injury, they say that they went too heavy, too quick. They knew there was going to be an issue, but they were deadlifting and they knew it was too heavy, but they still wanted to go for it. Or they overarched their back in an overhead position, just tweaked their back. That's the most common thing that I've found, is probably people tweaking their back in CrossFit in general. Now, in jiu-jitsu, I wouldn't say there's something that's like super common specifically, but you brought up like submissions. I actually don't think the submissions is where people get injured as much as you think. So like in chokes, it's pretty hard to get injured. Like, you just pass out. Obviously it's not ideal, but it's not that big of a deal. When someone gets you an arm bar or whatnot, in no-gi in particular, I find that people get injured from submissions, from like ankle locks, because they come on really fast. But in a gi, it's pretty unlikely to get injured that often in a submission in like a traditional gym. Now, in competition, people turn it on. But in the gyms, most people, most of the time, who even know how to put on a submission, know how to put it on an effective way where it gives the person an opportunity, even for a quick second, to tap. And generally speaking, I've seen thousands of taps. I've never seen any issues. Where I think the injuries occur in jiu-jitsu is the dynamicness of it. So I don't think it's in the submissions. I think it's in the fact, like, you're rolling and like your ankle gets in a really weird position. So like they roll on top of your ankle. It's not like they're trying to, it just happens. And your foot flexes in a weird spot, or you're going for a takedown and someone puts their arm down to like balance themselves and boom, something happens. So that's where I think you see some injuries occur. Like in my particular case, I was in like an open guard position. So I'm sitting down, this person's on top of me, like standing, and they're trying to like get past my legs to basically like pin me, right? And so I'm using my legs dynamically to like block them. And that's where it got like hit from the side. So those are where I've seen some more injuries, more so than submissions in particular in jiu-jitsu.
Do you think it's like the perfect storm? You know, like, obviously you're a big proponent, I give you a hard time about it all the time, of like BJJ, the sport, always encouraging people to try it. Do you think it's the perfect storm? I kind of think it is, of like, you know, getting these people that have been doing CrossFit for so long, you know, like super competitive, just like someone that's done CrossFit in general, right? Like, you've been training with a leaderboard, you know, and kind of been like, not taught, but like, you know, conditioned to like, hey, like, you know, you're trying to climb, you're trying to be better, you're trying to compete with the people in your class. You're taking that kind of person that are also probably pretty strong and pretty conditioned, more so than the average person that might be taking on BJJ. And you're throwing them in on the mat, not knowing what they're doing, you know, probably going 0 to 100 because that's what they know from, like, you know, doing Fran for 10 years. Is that not the perfect storm for, you know, some shifty situations? And I'm not saying people shouldn't do it, but I think maybe this is a good opportunity for you as someone that's made that transition to, like, give people some good advice that, hey, if you are someone that, you know, wants to try something outside of the CrossFit gym and BJJ is that thing you want to try, because there are some amazing benefits to going that route, you know, what might be some good pointers to make that transition without not only possibly you getting hurt, but getting someone else hurt.
Yeah. I think the best place to start is one-on-ones. I really do, Gabe. Like, I think in CrossFit, if you have a good background, I think you should take the time to pay a little extra and get some one-on-ones. Even two or three one-on-ones with a coach would lay a good framework, in my opinion, and or just go in for technique for a couple of weeks and not even allow yourself to go into the sparring sessions. I think you just got to wrap your head around the gameness of it to start with. And, cause dude, you're an alpha person, probably. Like, a lot of these people who are part of CrossFit, especially if you're, you know, one of the guys in the gym that outperforms others, you're going to want to win. And you got to know that going into jiu-jitsu, you're not going to win. It's just, you're not going to, like, you should just set that expectation that you're going to be a beginner and you're going to get your ass kicked. Like, it's going to happen. So if you could just do it in a positive way, like one-on-ones, slow, that's the best way to do it, because you thinking otherwise is going to get you potentially hurt and or someone else hurt, because they're going to turn it up on you if they feel like you're turning it up on them. So I think one-on-one's a good way to kind of create a conversation with a coach where they're teaching you and it's like, there's no ego about it because you're hiring this person to be your coach, and, or go in for the technique session and then take the time off for, you know, for the actual roles and just sit there and observe. I want more and more people to be doing CrossFit and jiu-jitsu. I'm very vested in this. I think that you should be doing both. But I think you got to enter into it that way. Like, I think long-term, man, it's just a phenomenal, synergy, you know, especially nowadays with like Protector and, you know, all the stuff that we talk about with Tim Kennedy. I just think there's so much legs to this idea. You know, we're talking to Tim about these ideas about testing people on their CrossFit, jiu-jitsu, and firearms training. I just think that it's such a beautiful blend that I think are just phenomenal skills that people should have.
Yeah, I agree. Obviously, I've taken the sheepdog course. I still haven't pulled the trigger on finding a...
No point intended.
No pun intended on finding a Brazilian jiu-jitsu gym near me. There is one, actually. I did find one. It's funny because, to your point, you've talked about this in the past about how the BJJ space is kind of in the stone age when it comes to like having a website and, like, you know, having something you can reach out to and whatever. The reason it took me so long to find that there's actually a pretty good gym in Seguin, where I live, is a small town, is they don't even have a website. They have a Facebook page. And it took like forever for me to like find this place, because you can't just Google like BJJ gyms near me and like it's going to pop out with like a nice website. It reminds me of, you know, CrossFit 10, 12 years ago, where, you know, people didn't have what they have now. You know, you need a website, you need, you know, how are you capturing leads, so on and so forth. It feels like, you know, the BJJ space is, you know, where CrossFit was maybe a decade ago.
Yeah, for sure, man. Dude, that's funny. They have a Facebook group. That's awesome. No, you got to get into it. Hey, by the way, this episode, is this releasing after Juliet and Kelly's?
Probably. Yeah.
Yeah. I think, not to change the subject, but I think their book, Built to Move, honestly,
I really enjoyed that podcast, by the way.
Dude, I think everybody should get that for like their family and friends. I think it's going to be a really good way to introduce people to a lot of the things that you and I know about, and just allow them to read it. I think that if you haven't gone back and listened to that podcast, I thought that Juliet and Kelly, they just have so much knowledge, and they're the perfect people to write that book. And I think that book's going to make a big impact on people. I hope it does. It's just going to require people to be open-minded and to read the whole thing. And that's the thing. So Built to Move, make sure you go back and check out that podcast. I really enjoyed that time with them. They're sharp, right?
Yeah, they're fun to talk to. He's super easy to talk to. You know, Kelly and Juliet, both of them, you know, in many ways are like such accomplished, obviously, but like big personalities, right? Like they fill up a room, like they come in and like Kelly's like shaking hands, smiling, like talking to everyone like he's known them for 10 years. But I think that, you know, in a podcast setting, they do such a good job of like also being like, you know, very easy to talk to, very relatable. So I always enjoy spending time with them because, you know, they have this very unique ability of like being this huge personality, but also like someone that like you can easily just have a one-on-one conversation with.
For sure. For sure. Yeah. I agree with that. They came in here and they did some, we want to do more of that where they can come into the gym and start working with some of our athletes and start supporting them. And, you know, maybe we can even videotape some of that content and put it out to the world, giving some people some insight on ways that they can get pain-free, you know, because a lot of people are in pain. And this book, I think, is going to be a way for people to get out of pain. But yeah, Built to Move, it released April 4th. So depending on when this episode releases,
it'll be out already for sure.
Oh yeah. Cause what am I talking about? Yeah. Today's the 30th, you know, Yesterday CrossFit, we closed the loop on the whole, you know, we closed the loop for CrossFit community on the, AVA diagnosis. So that seemed to be received really well by the community. It was important for me just to close the loop on that. And so we just announced, you know, AVA's, cured of cancer. And it was just important for me to put it out to on social media, not because like I was trying to like, like someone sent to me like great posts. And I was thinking to myself, like it, the idea of it was not to make a great post. Like I wasn't trying to like be an influencer and create a big post. I was trying to share with the community that I felt like really reached out and like wore their heart on their sleeves and was so generous to us. I wanted to let them know that we have came full circle. That loop is closed and we're changing and we're moving on to the next chapter. And, that was the whole idea of the post. And so, yeah, I feel like we accomplished that, though. I think that a lot of people reached out who did see that message years ago and now felt like they kind of had some closure on that, too. So that was cool.
Yeah, man. I mean, we talked about it a couple podcasts ago, but, you know, super powerful story. And I know that was a big moment for you guys last week.
Dude, you know what we got? We had, so when Ava got sick, I've never really talked about this because it's not really a big deal, but people sent us a shitload. Like, I mean, a shitload of zebra type stuff and Polly Pockets. So at the time, you know, she was young. She was kind of in this idea of zebra. So they sent us like, dude, I mean, just flooded our house with, or the gym with like zebra, like animals, all kinds of stuff. But she got really into Polly Pockets. And do you know what a Polly Pocket is?
No. So, I was hoping you'd explain.
So a Polly Pocket, it sounds kind of weird, but a Polly Pocket is basically like a plastic toy that you could then open it up. And then inside there's like little figurines that you could like kind of like it's a self-contained like little home. And so you open it up. And then once you open it, you could like take these little figures that are already self-contained. Right. And you can kind of like play with them or whatever. Right. And they have different Polly Pockets. And so some of these sell on eBay for like tons of money. They're like legacy ones. And Ava really liked them. And so I put out like one social media post. This is years ago. And dude, we got like 100, 200 of these Polly Pockets that people had because you couldn't get them anymore. And so now we have all these Polly Pockets. I'm trying to figure out what to do with them. So if someone's listening to this podcast and they have a good idea of what we should do with old Polly Pockets that are worth a lot of money, but I'm not going to go sell them. Like that's not the intention. Right. So I got to figure out what to do with those Polly Pockets. But that was an example of the community outreach. They sent us a ton of them. It was really cool.
That is cool, man. Yeah, I mean, it's cool to see that chapter close. I know you guys have a really cool, exciting trip planned for Europe this summer to celebrate. That'll be special.
Yeah.
And I'm really glad that, you know, it's cool to hear that you guys are, you know, not making it a big deal, but like making it a big deal because it is a huge deal to like, you know, really celebrate how big of an occasion this is and how, you know, positive of a moment in her life, your guys' life as a family is that came from obviously such a low.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah. We're going to have a good time. I think Chris Hinshaw and I might end up doing a, seminar out there for gym owners and for coaches and athletes, somewhere in like the France, Belgium area. So I'll keep everybody posted on that. But yeah, Chris and I, dude, it's like
somewhere in the France, Belgium area.
Dude, anytime him and I get together and we do like a little gig or whatever, I really enjoy spending time with him. He's super knowledgeable. And yeah, I'm excited about that. I'm speaking of Chris Hinshaw, I just got asked yesterday to be the assistant coach for track and field for the kids, sixth, seventh, and eighth graders in So I'm responsible. So this track season, check this out. It's three practices and one track and field meet. That's it. So it's once a week for 3 weeks is a track and field practice, and then it's a meet at my alma mater, Archbishop Mitty. And so, dude, we get to take the kids through a bunch of different track and field events. So that'll be pretty exciting.
And you're the assistant to the assistant coach.
No, I'm the
What are you
assistant.
teaching? What are you teaching? Shot put?
Yeah, well,
Like
so
that's.
oddly, so here's what's interesting. They sent me the list of events, and it's like the 50-yard dash, 100-yard dash, 400-meter, whatever. And then they have a softball throw in there. I'm like, oh shit.
Yes, that's what you need
And
to
I
teach.
swear it's a softball throw. And I'm thinking to myself, they must be requiring the kids to throw it as a shot, but they have to be, because if you're overhand throwing a softball, it's not really in the spirit of the shot put. So I did throw the shot in high school. And so I will be teaching that on the shoulder technique to those guys. So it'll be fun. But I'm gonna use the warm-ups that we do with Hinshaw. He really opened my eyes to a lot of warm-ups.
Yeah, you did shot put in high school, and you also threw a softball at the CrossFit Games.
Yeah. And still
And
till this day, you cannot find that video. I honestly, it's so funny that my softball throw, and we've talked about this before, it was just the worst throw ever. But you can't find it anywhere on the internet.
Liz
Like,
has got to find it.
no, she
Liz
can't find it. No,
has
there's
to.
you can't
We're
find you.
gonna find
Nope.
it.
You could see a picture, but there's no video of my terrible throw on
How much you pay to get that scrubbed off the internet?
Bro, I didn't even pay anybody to scrub it off the
Yes.
internet. CrossFit must have said, "Hey, this is a really bad look for our. We got to get rid of this. This
CrossFit Games is going to go nowhere if this gets out.
This guy sucks. So
Oh, man.
we're gonna delete all content from him. So
I
that'll,
have the video right now replaying in my head, and it's pretty good.
yeah. I mean, you could replay it in your head, but you can't find it online. So that's one good thing we have going for us. At least as a, you know, I'm, I, yeah.
But I was going to say one thing, because you brought up the Kelly and Juliet podcast we did last week. And one thing
Yeah.
that I've been noticing lately that is kind of driving me nuts, but I think that there's something to be said about the sentiment behind it. But I think that, people always go like too much in one direction. I don't know if you've noticed this, but there's a lot of like fitness influencers, like accounts, stuff like that, that are now all about dispelling the benefits of the cold plunge. Like,
Dispelling.
yeah, so like coming out,
Really?
so there's this one study that everyone points to. So there was a study that showed that doing a cold plunge, like after working out, was counterproductive to hypertrophy. And a lot of people
Yeah.
point to this. They're like, it's counterintuitive. Like, you're not going to put on muscle, so on and so forth. Like, stop doing cold plunges. And there's some truth to that. I remember I posted about it a while back, especially when I was like really, really into the cold plunge and sharing about it a lot, that I stopped doing it after working out when I heard that, because it made sense too, right? Like, you go, muscle damage, inflammation happens when you work out, and that's naturally a part of the process that needs to happen to allow for the adaptation that makes your muscles become stronger and, more importantly, like grow and become bigger. Like, if you want to put on size, you need that process of like muscle damage, inflammation, and then your body naturally coming off of that to happen. So there was a study done that said that that process is obviously stunted if you go and get in the cold plunge right
Within
after you
3 hours,
work out,
right?
right, within 3 hours.
Yeah.
However, like, and Andrew Huberman was talking about this a lot. And I know that like Huberman says it's become this like, kind of like joke, because everyone says like, well, it's true because Huberman says. But anyway, he was talking about how like it's limited to like 4 hours. Like, if you're doing it before you work out, or if you're waiting a while after you work out, like those effects are completely like irrelevant. And the interesting piece about it to me was, I feel like a lot, and this happens a lot in the fitness space, definitely happens a lot in the nutrition space, people always seem to need to knock something down to like make content or to promote whatever they're promoting. Like, it's always like, it never leads with like the merits of what it is that you think works. You always lead with like, hey, that doesn't work, so listen to me. And it's just, I feel like, an unfortunate state of affairs for the fitness space, in the fitness space specifically, because that's where we live, right? Where I feel like a lot of different schools of thought, so on and so forth, have to say that doesn't work, so listen to me, instead of just being able to stand on the own merits of whatever it is that you're promoting.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that's what, because it gets clickbait and it gets people's attention, right? So, I mean, I was reading Huberman was talking about this idea. So I was in the plunge this morning, right? And I exercise either a little bit before, or I'll exercise mainly middle of the day, right? So regardless of those windows, though, for me, man, like, I don't really care. Like, I do it when I want to do it because it makes me feel good. And I don't really care about, like, I don't really care. Like, like, I think that people get caught in the weeds. Like, oh shit, it's 3 hours. So, okay, it's 2:30. It's 2 hours and 30 minutes later. I can't get in for another 30 minutes. It's like, dude, and I guarantee you, if you ask Huberman, be like, dude, if that's when you have time, just go do it. If that makes you feel good, go do it. Like, we're just, there's no absolutes in any of this stuff is what I'm realizing. And I think that one bad thing about the fitness space, you're right, is that what captures attention is bashing. Because you find people who are really interested in something. Let's just say you bash CrossFit. Well, if you're really about CrossFit, you might pay attention to that bashing because it affects you to like your core. And so all of a sudden you engage with it. And now all of a sudden that post gets more engagement. Versus if this person is just talking about how awesome HYROX is, as an example, you might not engage as much with it. But if they say HYROX is better than CrossFit, all of a sudden you engage with it because you feel offended or whatever it is. It's a weird cycle of social media, man. And the news is great at doing that too.
Yeah. Yeah. And the piece that I do think, like, I get the sentiment behind, and I do get the understanding. We talked about this with Kelly and Juliet on the last podcast, is this idea that also, like, you know, you're not going to cold plunge your way to optimal health, right? You're not going to sauna your way to optimal health. And I do think that, like, letting people know that these things are good, like cherries on tops to like a really good, healthy routine. But that's all it is, right? Like it's like a little extra. I think the way that Kelly and Juliet put it that I really liked is you almost have to earn the right to worry about like, am I cold plunging? Am I doing a sauna? Am I using infrared light therapy? Whatever, like name your biohacking thing. Are you getting enough sleep? Do you have proper, like, you know, way to manage stress? Are you moving your body every day? Not even are you doing like resistance training and super optimal, like, you know, high intensity interval training. Like literally, are you just moving every day? Have you checked off that box? Are you eating mostly whole foods? Are you eating everything that comes out of a package? Like, are those things in place before you like start arguing about like, you know, whether you doing a cold plunge is detrimental to you putting on muscle. So that I think that I agree with. I agree with like people should make sure that the basics are in place before you start going like into the weeds and like, you know, splitting hairs over the ideal time to get in the cold plunge. But that said, like, you know, going about like, you know, saying that this doesn't work as well as they say it is, like no one's getting hurt doing the cold plunge. If anything, I think that like, even if there are no physical benefits from getting in cold water, like, dude, you know this, I know this, like I've been doing cold plunge for a while. It still sucks. Like still anyone sucks. That says that if you've been doing it for a while and then it gets easier, I refuse to believe that because I've been doing it for a long time and I still stare at that thing and I'm like, this is going to suck so bad. And there's something to be said about doing it anyway that I think is incredibly, incredibly powerful. And I don't care like what anyone else says. Doesn't mean you have to go and do it, but like for people to say that like, oh, it's counterproductive, like you shouldn't be wasting your time, it's so silly.
It's very silly. And it's, well, I think it's like, you could say like, hey, to optimize it, you should be doing this. But I think that at the end of the day, you're right. Like there's so many more things to talk about. I think we can get wrapped up in like the cold plunge, the sauna and whatnot. It's like, dude, those things are like the hot topics right now. But at the end of the day, like the foundation of it all is how are you eating? How are you sleeping? How are you hydrating? And how are you training? Like that's the foundation of it all. And then everything else is just like this sexy stuff that people like to talk about, but that's like the salt, you know, like the meat and potatoes is all this other stuff. And I just think it can't, especially because of social media, I feel like the cold plunge gets a lot of attention because it looks so, I don't know. There's something about it that like, I don't know. There's something about it, and from a social perspective, that draws attention to it, even more so than the sauna. I think the plunge has really gained a lot of traction these last couple of years. It also helped that cold plunge was on Shark Tank, so that was nice. So
yeah, and there is like the social media effect. It does impact everything, right? Because for sure. Like there's something about filming, you know, yourself. You know, like doing a cold plunge, which is, you know, this like really hard thing, looks badass, like whatever that is going to go viral to an extent, right? Like you taking a picture of yourself, like, you know, just eating your veggies, or like, hey, I'm going to sleep at a good time tonight. Like, that doesn't make for a good social media post.
No.
But you, like, in a tub full of like ice, like, that looks crazy. Like, people are going to be like, oh, shoot, that's so cool. That's such a badass. So I think that, yes, that unfortunately does 100% play an element. But on the flip side, I don't think that that's reason enough to tell people, like, you know, hey, you're wasting your time doing that thing. Like, yeah. Could you maybe be focused on the basics if you haven't focused on the basics first? Yes. But, you know, there is some benefits to this stuff. And, you know, I've said this many times, but you can find a study nowadays to prove either side of any debate. You can find one study that says that something is healthy. You can find a study that says something is not healthy. And I think that that's where a lot of people get tripped up, is because, you know, a lot of these influencers out there, they'll always say that studies have shown, and it's always just one study. And you can find a study that will literally support anything nowadays.
Yeah, you just got to find what works for you. You know, it's interesting not to, well, this is definitely my ADD kicking in. I was talking to Adam yesterday, and we were talking about time under tension. And we were talking about how that relates to business. So not to totally jump guns here, but it's like, you know, time and attention and fitness works, right? Like, you stress your body, like you're saying, your body gets freaked out, right? Let's just say you go expose yourself to high intensity workout, or you go lift some loads. At a high level, what happens is your body says, oh boy, that was very difficult. I need to create adaptation so it doesn't become as difficult. Like, that's essentially how you build muscle and get fitter, like in a high level. It's interesting how that time under tension relates to business too, or even like in life, right? Like, the more time you spend under tension, in those particular, like, I don't know, whatever, in business, like a gym owner is going through something, a coach is going through something, the more time we spend under tension, the better we get and the stronger we become as a leader, as a business owner, as a whatever you're doing. And I just found that was a really interesting correlation we were talking about yesterday. And I saw it on one of my notes that I had here, and that's why I jumped to that conversation. So I wanted to bring up that idea of time under tension in business, time under tension in your personal life, and how if you see value in time under tension in the gym, it might change the way you reframe things when in business things are going hard for you. Because when things are tough, it's that time under tension, that stress, those struggles that I think will kind of take it to the next level. If you look at it one for one, fitness to business. Thought it was an interesting topic and an interesting theory to kind of dive into for a second.
Yeah, man. I mean, adversity is important, dude. It's important in everything, you know, where it's adversity, tension, like things just getting hard. Like, there's always lessons to be learned from everything that's difficult, right? Like, dude, Shay just turned 4 months. It's been a tough 4 months, and we've learned so much. Like, me and Ariel have learned so much as parents, being flexible with our workouts, being flexible with our schedule, like, you know, learning how to, like, you know, stay calm, cooperate, collaborate, finding like the little bright moments that make all the tough moments like so worth it. Like, it's been a tough 4 months, but I mean, I feel like I've grown so much over these 4 months of like being a parent for the first time, in different ways, right? Not in the same ways as like, you know, from working out or my career, but, yeah, I mean, tough things teach you a lot of things, and I'm sure, you know, that's fresh on your mind. I can't imagine all the lessons that you, Ashley, Ava, Caden learned throughout, you know, everything you guys had to deal with Ava's treatment, you know?
Yeah, I mean, for sure. I mean, think about it. Ava, I was, what was I? I was 29, I think. Yeah, I was 29. I think I was 29 or 30 when Ava got sick. And it's like, dude, that's, you know, you don't have that many, you know, at that point, I was pretty young, you know, and I didn't have that many life experiences. So that was like, you know, coming at you quick. But you're right. Like, dude, whether it's, you know, you're 4 month old, or it's just, when you think about it from a business perspective, the personal stuff, we'll put that to over here. I think there's definitely, you know, there's a lot there, but from the business side, you know, we've gone through a lot here at the gyms. You know, we've opened gyms, we've closed gyms, we've gone through legal, you know, issues. We've gone through, you name it. We've had to deal with it, right? We've let people go. We've hired new people. We've, and through all of that, right? If you really look at it, like, it's just like it's part of the path. It's part of the growth process. And to get to your optimal position as a leader, but you have to go through these. You can't just talk about them. Like, it's one thing to talk about working out. It's one thing to talk about time and attention on a back squat. It's another thing to actually go and put yourself in that position and work through that struggle mentally and physically. And I think that same thing equates really well to business. Like, you have to go through these situations to really grow. Like, someone can tell you all you want. You can read as many books as you want. It's like parenting. Dude, you can read all the books you want, but until you're actually in that situation and you and your wife are like in the middle of the night, you're sleepless nights, and you're trying to figure out how to deal with the crying baby, like, you got to learn how to communicate effectively, and no book is going to tell you how to do that. Like, you, like, in that moment, you have to be able to, you know, step it up. It's the same thing in business. And I think that when I think about it through time and attention, for anybody who's in the fitness space and look at their business, it might be one of those things just like, I get that. Like, I'm going to change my frame of reference from looking at these struggles as a negative to actually look at them as a positive, because they're a way for me to get stronger as an individual.
For sure, man. Yeah. Speaking of books, you know, I always have a good book recommendation for people.
Chris Cooper ended up sending me that book that we talked about.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He sent it to me. I have it at home, actually. So that'll be a new one I'll read. I'll let you know how it goes. But give me the book recommendation. Peter Attia or whatever just came out with a new book, right?
Yeah, I have to buy that. I'm excited for that. I listened to his podcast. I'm a big fan of Peter. So the book recommendation now, so I wish I had it here, because now I don't even remember the name of it. I think it's like 4,000 Weeks. Yeah, it seems silly now because I don't remember
the name. Now you're really butchering it. Let me see.
Yeah, it's like 4,000 Weeks, time management. It's like a time management book, but it's not really about time management.
It's 4,000 Weeks, Time Management for Mortals.
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
So that was actually a book recommendation from Peter Attia. But it's such a cool idea, man. And I'm not done with it yet, but it's gotten me thinking so much. And it actually, I bought something for my room based off the book. So the whole idea is, if you're expecting to live an average of 88 years, you have about 4,000 weeks of life. And the whole book is about this idea that, you know, we tend to not think about the fact that, like, you know, not to get super dark, but the fact that the road is coming to an end, and really start to, like,
oh boy,
do the things that matter and ignore the things that don't. And so what I ended up buying is, they sell this, it's your life in 4,000 weeks calendar, and it's framed. It's nice. It's going to go up in my room. And what it is 4,000 little dots. And what you do is, you put your date of birth in, and it comes in, it comes in already filled out to, like, where you are now. And it's supposed to be a reminder every day of, like, And you go in there every week and you, like, fill in a circle.
Oh, yeah.
And what Peter was saying that he did is, he also, not only does he fill in a circle, but he marks when it's expected for his kids to go to college, as, like, also a reminder of, like, how much time do you have left before your kids possibly leave your house. And it's supposed to be this, like, visual representation of, like, you know, this thing is this long, and every single day, like, you're either wasting it or you're making the most of it. And I think the whole book goes into this idea of how, you know, especially in, like, I hate the term hustle culture, but, like, in the hustle culture that we live in, which, again, and you know this, like, at NC Fit, we're big on getting shit done, putting a lot of work in, so on and so forth. But I think that one thing that, as a team, also we've gotten a lot better at lately is understanding that there are all other things that are very important. And this idea of balance is super important. And, you know, there are probably things that you want to get done in life. There are things that I want to do in life. And it's very easy to say, hey, I have plenty of time to do that, and continue to, like, you know, put your nose down and grind. And then next thing you know, you do pick up your head and you're like, holy shit, you know, I'm 2/3 way done with this thing. And I haven't done any of those things that I always told myself that I had all this time to do.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this poster, I'm looking at it right now online. This poster can give you a little bit of anxiety.
Dude, but I'm excited to have it up in my room and, like, really just have that be a reminder there. And the whole idea is supposed to make you better at not procrastinating, which is something that, for some things, I think I'm pretty bad at. So yeah, man, it's a good book. It's a fascinating book. I recommend it to anyone. And I got the poster. I'm going to put it up in my room. It's framed.
We'll have to talk about this, like, 6 months from now and see if the poster still makes the same impact on you. So I'm looking at one poster here. This one starts and, like, it has different color coordination. And so it's like the one I think you're talking about, I actually saw a friend of mine had it up in his room.
Yeah.
It's all black, right?
Yeah. It's just black. And then it's just little circles. but it like shows you very clearly, like,
yeah,
how much is left.
It's this one that I'm looking at. It says weeks of my life. It's like dark blue, blue, above, and then it gets green, then it goes yellow, darker yellow, and then towards like your 70s, 80s, 90s, it gets red. I mean, once you hit the red, bro, you're like, oh, fuck.
That one's a little bit too morbid for me.
This is the plain
black and white one is more my speed.
Yeah, I see that one. So that's good. I mean, you know what it brings me up to is, so the other day I'm at, Ava participated in a play, her first play. It was called Beauty and the Beast. And these kids, man, they crushed it. But I was talking to the principal of the school, and she was saying that anytime, so she struggled with cancer and she's gone through a lot too. She said that one of the things that she's gotten better about is that after like a situation comes up, she asks herself like immediately in the moment, is this going to matter 5 minutes, 5 hours, or 5 years from now? And I actually did a couple of clip on this because I found this to be really interesting. So if you ask yourself immediately in the situation, is this going to matter 5 minutes, 5 hours, or 5 years from now? I think a lot of people look at it like, okay, it's not going to matter, so I should just relax. Like, let's just say it's like, I don't know, you hit traffic, right? Is this going to really matter to me 5 years from now? Probably not, right? So I need to kind of let it go. It's probably not even going to matter to me 5 hours from now. Maybe it'll matter 5 minutes from now if you hit traffic, as an example. And so there's a lot of examples like that where something comes up in life. It's not really going to matter. You need to let it go and not get too overwhelmed. Okay, I understand that side. But on the other side, this is something I hadn't thought about as much. And it kind of goes in line with your 4,000 weeks, which is why I'm bringing it up, is how about the flip side? What if it really will matter? So let's just say, will it matter in 5 days? I mean, excuse me, 5 minutes, 5 hours, or 5 years? Well, what if, for example, something comes up and I don't know, you have like a cousin of yours passed away, but you can't go to the funeral because you're working, right? And you don't go. Is that going to matter 5 years from now? It might be one of those things where like in the moment you thought you were too busy or whatever, but down the line, right? I use the example of like someone having a baby. That was probably an extreme case, right? Like if you didn't show up for that, like 5 years from now, you'd probably regret not showing up because you had a meeting at that time, right? But that was probably an extreme example. I think there's very few people that would give up going to their, you know, baby being born for a meeting. But that was it was a good way to look at it both sides, right? I think a lot of people get the side like, hey, it probably won't matter. But what if what you think in the moment isn't as big of a deal because you have the other things going on, but 5 years from now, it does actually matter. It's just a good way to look at both sides of the coin. Inspiration from a school principal.
For sure, man. I mean, it's very similar to a lot of what the book talks about, because the book goes into this fact that, like, you know, we're so many people now are so like, you know, especially type A people, like you have to get the things done on your to-do list, right? And we're all trying to be as productive as possible. How can we get the most amount of like work and stuff done? And like the example it gave, which like really kind of, you know, clicked in my head, was like, you know, you're going through your emails, right? And you're answering all these work emails, like you're getting back to everyone super fast because, you know, you're that type of person that gets back to everyone super fast.
Right.
And then you get an email from like, you know, a relative or a friend you haven't talked to in a really long time, just checking in. And you're like, okay, that can wait because I want to put a little bit of thought into it. Like, so nice that Jason reached out to me. Like, I actually want to get back to him when I have some time. So you just flag it and then you keep going back to your work and like all these emails. And then more times than not, that thing just stays there. You forget, life happens, and you never get back to that friend that took the time to reach out to you and just kind of check in with how you're doing. I know that happens to me with text messages all the time, you know, because with text messages, like if it's a Slack, if it's someone with work, I'm really good about getting back to it right away because I'm working, right? Like that's super important to me. But I'll get a text from like a college buddy being like, hey man, how are you doing? Whatever. And I'll be like, oh, that's so nice. Like I'm going to get back to him later. Then I have stuff at the farm to do. Then I have the kids. Then it's nighttime. Next thing you know, you never got back to that person. And that was just a really good example that they were talking it in this term of like, you know, life is finite and you should really do the things that matter. And that probably matters a lot more than, you know, being on top of Slack. But it's exactly what you just said now. Like, the Slack message is important 5 minutes from now. Maybe it's important 5 hours from now. It's something really important, but like, isn't getting back to that friend that took the time and effort to like check in on how you're doing going to be super important 5 years from now, where you either still have a relationship with that friend or now you don't, literally because he reached out, it fizzled out. And then we know that like a lot of friendships just kind of fizzle out that way. Like it takes effort from two people to maintain something like that. And sometimes it just takes one person being a little bit too busy. Next thing you know, you haven't talked to them for years.
Dude, you described that much better than I did. In that conference, I use the idea of like, having your firstborn child. There's very few people that are probably going to miss that, but that's a much better example. What you just said hit the nail on the head.
Well,
It's
dude,
exactly
I'm,
what we were talking about.
dude, and the thing is, like, hands up, man, I'm guilty. Like, I know there's so many people, like, and like, I'm almost embarrassed to admit this, but like, I'm bad if you text me during the workday and I have other stuff going on because, like, I want to be focused on the things that I'm focused on, and that seems like something that, like, I'll get to it at night. Like, I really want to make sure that, like, I'm present and whatever. But like, life's fucking crazy right now, and like, sometimes I won't get back to that person, and it seems like priorities are maybe a little bit out of whack there. So that's why that, maybe like really, really impacted me because, dude, I'm not good at that. I'm really not, and I think it's something I could be better at if you really start having that mindset shift, like you said, of like what's really going to be more important 5 years from now.
Yeah, 5 minutes, 5 hours, 5 years. That was the inspiration from that I picked up on. So no, I'm glad you lean into that. And like, yeah, this 4,000 week, I don't know if I would put one of those up, man. It's a little bit much, but I think it's a little bit much. Maybe I'll find some more inspirational type stuff to put up in the office. I mean, around here at the gym, we got a bunch of stuff, but I think dude, let me yeah, we got there's a bunch of random stuff in this office. We got to get more and more memorabilia from the CrossFit Games. I will be at hopefully in the next week or two we'll be able to announce the events we'll be at. I will be at the Two Brain Business, so will you. So for anybody who listened to our episode with Chris Cooper, Gabe and I will both be at the Two Brain Business Summit. We're super excited about this. I think they're doing a really great job. It's in Chicago in June. I think it's going to be a phenomenal time. I'm actually going to be taking through the gym owners and the coaches through a morning workout, and then I'll be speaking on the owner stage and on the coach stage, both things I really have a passion for, obviously gym ownership, but also the coaching side. So if you haven't already signed up for that and you're a Two Brain client, I'm pretty sure you have to be a Two Brain client. Make sure to check that out because Gabe and I will both be there. We're looking forward to meeting you guys there if you're a gym owner out there.
100%. Yeah.
That'll be a good one. Well, dude, I got in my plunge. I got in my coffee. I'm using my little 10-ounce Yeti tumbler from a film festival we went to. Shout out to Yeti. And dude, now we're here at the office. Mr. Walker's in the house. We're gonna go talk to him. But yeah, anything closing remarks, things you have on your mind for this week?
No, man. Check out 4,000 Weeks. I've really enjoyed the book. That's fine.
Check out 4,000 Weeks. And as per usual, if you're an athlete who listens to this, you just love listening to us riff. If you haven't checked out the NC Fit app, I think that it's already at a beautiful, beautiful space. I mean, I love our app, super easy to use, super clean. And then if you're a gym owner, obviously the NC Fit Collective is basically our app, but on steroids, because it has a bunch of other resources that gym owners can use to run their classes. Whereas the traditional app is more for an athlete who gets inspiration, et cetera. The gym owner version just adds in these supplemental things like the stimulus, the timeline, all these things that help you run a better class. So, yeah, dude, these gyms, they've been rock and rolling. If you're ever in the Bay Area, come visit us at one of our two locations here in the Bay Area. We'd love to see you here in Campbell or Mountain View. And, in the future, we will be putting out a Yeti question of the week. So I wanted to kind of lay some framework for anybody who listens to this show. Stay tuned. We're going to be putting it on social on, I think, or what do you think? We're going to use my channel or and probably my channel.
Right, do both just
Yeah.
to reach as many potential people as possible. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll be asking people the Yeti question of the week. And basically what I'm almost 100% sure of is that we're gonna say, hey, this is a Yeti question of the week. It's gonna be, hey, Gabe, how do I get as nice of good looking hair as you? And then Gabe can explain what
No
his,
problem.
secrets of success are. And in return, that individual we choose from social media gets one of these Yeti tumblers. Not this one in particular I'm holding up if you're watching this on video, but we're gonna have a variety of different Yeti products we're gonna be giving out for that person. So stay tuned to the Yeti question of the week. I'm actually really excited about that. I think it's been a lot of fun. And that's coming down the pipeline for the podcast.
Right, man. Exciting things, exciting conversations. Yeah, thanks for having me, dude. That was fun.
All right, brother. Have a great day. And for everybody listening, hope you guys have a great week. We'll see you guys next week for another episode. Let's go.